You are now in the Corn Roof Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an edition of the Corn Roof Podcast. I am your host, Jerry Clem, alongside my right-hand man, Mr. Kev. Got our marketing wizard back in the building, Pat Donahue, and our intern, Samir. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. It's time for podcast and chill. And this episode is titled The Aftermath of the Skinner Rampage. For those of you who did not tune in last night to our live stream, our boy Kev was on a Skinner and Whiskey Fuel rampage. It was incredible. It was admirable. And it was legendary. And we are so proud of him. And I learned more about Leonard Skinner, listened to more Leonard Skinner in one like continuous sitting than I ever have in my life. We also watched our intern try to defend the Allman Brothers, which would my mother so proud of him, but he lost. Also had a fullback discussion for the ages when Pat wasn't even here.
Like he's the biggest fan of the fullback on earth.
We talked in the middle of the NFL playoffs, guys. We talked a grand total, I think I counted last night, of 7 minutes total of actual football, 2 minutes total of hockey. The rest was just nonsense, and it was perfect.
My question was, did he just have Sweet Home Alabama on repeat the entire day, or? Okay.
I was playing, hang on.
Kev, I don't want to get flagged for copyright.
I was playing Gold and Platinum, their greatest hits album.
Okay. I wouldn't put it past you to just have Sweet Home Alabama on repeat for like an hour and a half, and just subject like everyone watching the live to it.
True. Sweet Home Alabama is on that album, though. But, yeah, no, I was hungover till probably about 2 o'clock today. It was rough.
That's when you texted us, right? Put that stuff in the chat with the memes?
Probably. I mean, I was doing stuff before that. I was up, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame you, but I got up this morning. I was even feeling a little hungover this morning. I woke up for work, and I'm like, fuck. And I went upstairs, made a burrito. I'm just, like, sitting there eating, drinking coffee, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be a long day. Worked until like 5:45, and I haven't really done a job since last Thursday. Everything else has been like short, quick stuff. So it's like literally it was a full-on fledged job with like nothing but heavy stuff all day. No light boxes, no light furniture. It was rocks and like armoires and dressers and all this stuff I hate. All right. So I mean, big news in the NFL world. Of course, yesterday I defended vehemently the Eagles' new head coaching hire. We don't have to go into that again. But, of course, I love the hire, and there's a possibility Deuce Staley could be our OC. Even though the Bears reached out to him today, if Deuce becomes our offense coordinator, I'll be a very happy man. Keep that guy in Philadelphia at all costs. Also, the biggest one, the one I wanted to lead off with, is Dwayne Haskins. Dewey Haskins himself is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Oh, boy. This is great. And I mean, there is a 1% chance out of 100 that Haskins under Mike Tomlin might be able to like be okay as a quarterback, because for the love of God, the amount of weapons between Ebron, Claypool, Johnson, and James Washington, that automatically beats whatever he had in Washington, because Juju's leaving most likely. It's like I heard 70% is what they're leaning towards Juju bailing and going to another team because his contract's up and no offer's been put out yet. But I don't know. But the other 99% is this is going to be just either him being a backup or this being freaking hysterical. So, Pat, you missed yesterday. You take lead off here. Dwayne Haskins, Pittsburgh. What's your initial reaction?
Why are we doing this? Why are we giving Dwayne Haskins like another shot? Like, I mean, he's not going to be the starter, right? Like, he's, you know, Mason Rudolph is probably going to start over him, right?
Yeah. Thank God. I don't know, because Mason Rudolph may be one of the, to quote the great Pat McAfee, is one of the worst starting quarterbacks you've ever seen take a snap in the NFL. Mason Rudolph, for how good he was at Oklahoma State, it makes no sense why he's this bad in the NFL. Because I've seen guys who were backups in college do better as starters in the NFL. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But yeah, Mason Rudolph's dog crap. So I don't know about that. They may have to get Josh Dobbs off his rocket base somewhere in NASA to take snaps, because that's about their only hope.
Like,
I don't think this is going to work.
I want someone to, like, make this make sense to me. Like, I thought we've just kind of learned at this point that Dwayne Haskins shouldn't be playing.
I don't know. I mean, Drew Lock's out of 2 years left in Denver, but they might cut him after the season. I feel like he's a guy who could go to a team with a coach who actually knows how to develop quarterbacks and just say, hey, listen, Drew, you're going to sit behind this old guy for 2 years. And you're going to learn how to play quarterback the real way. And then, oh, look, you got a guy with a top five arm with actual quarterback tutelage. I think, honestly, Drew Lock's career would be better off if Denver lets him go, because they clearly don't know what the hell they're doing when it comes to developing quarterbacks now. They're going to go draft another one, or they're going to get one free agency like a Matthew Stafford, and that's going to put a Band-Aid on it for about 5 minutes.
I mean, Big Ben doesn't have 2 years left. You said Drew Lock would be sitting for 2 years.
Oh, no. That was about any team who picks him up. I couldn't think of a team off the top of my head, but like a team that maybe has about a quarterback with about 2 years left of shelf life.
Okay. Tampa Bay would be an example.
Yeah, I could see Arians loving Drew Lock's arm strength.
But it's interesting. I don't hate the move, actually. I don't like Dwayne Haskins. I never really thought he was that good, but their best option is if Big Ben comes back, you have him or Mason Rudolph. That's what it comes down to. I don't want either of those guys. I think Dwayne Haskins has more of an upside than either of them. You might go 3-13. You might do that with Big Ben and Mason Rudolph all year. It's possible. You could sneak into the playoffs. This does not hurt their ceiling or their floor.
It's definitely, we're going to have to, it's also going to really depend on, Kev, I see your point. It's really just going to come down to what the Bengals do, what the Ravens do, and what the Browns do. Because right now the Browns made it the deepest in the playoffs, at least by calendar. And they took the defending champs basically down to the wire and a Chad Henne miracle run. So I don't think Pittsburgh got embarrassed last 2 weeks ago. So I don't think this is their last move to make a quarterback. I think they're going to bring in Haskins and be like, listen, let's see what you got. Let's see what Mason's got. If not, like, they may be on the phone trying to see if they can get a veteran quarterback who gets cut or something. I don't know. Like, Pittsburgh.
Pick up Cam Newton.
I would love Cam Newton in there, by the way, because what's easier for Cam Newton to hit? A guy who's 6'4", who runs a 4.4. That's basically Cam Newton's dream. He's like, I don't have to be accurate. I just have to throw it a long way.
Yeah.
Calvin Benjamin, half the weight, though.
Double the speed.
Yeah.
Also, it's not that surprising that Mason Rudolph did not play well. He was a third-round pick out of the Big 12. The Big 12 doesn't really play defense.
If you're not a first-round pick out of them, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. Also, he is not the most disappointing quarterback ever. So, I mean, good for him, I guess.
You guys ready to break down these games? Because we did a rapid fire pick to get the show over last night at about an hour and 40 minutes. All right, so here we go. We'll take lead off here. Breaking news as of what, Kev, 2 hours ago. Antonio Brown is out for Sunday. If the Steelers do win, Steelers, well, force habit. If the Bucks do win, they should have him back for the Super Bowl if they do end up beating Green Bay. It is at 3:05. What are you guys thinking for Green Bay versus Tampa?
Shootout. Absolute shootout.
I'm here for it, too.
I feel like it's going to be like one of those games where it's going to be like each team throws up like pushing 40 points. And I really can't wait to see what both powerhouse offenses can throw together.
Kev?
I think the loss of Antonio Brown is going to suck, but it's not going to derail the Bucs. He was their third, fourth option at times, sometimes his fifth option. If Ronald Jones is back 100% healthy, it's not going to be. I mean, people forget the Bucs had Aaron Rodgers' number earlier in the year. And I know the saying it's hard to beat a team twice, but it's Tom Brady in the playoffs. I do think it's going to be relatively high scoring. I don't think they're going to hold the Steelers to – or not Steelers, the Packers to 6 points, I think it was, this season. But I still think the Bucs are going to win.
Intern.
I'm thinking the Packers here. However, with Antonio Brown out, I love Tyler Johnson. I hope he has a big game. And I hope he maybe catches a touchdown, because that catch against the Saints last week was
incredible.
Jinx. Like, yeah, that's, oh yeah, my God.
I owe you a soda because you can't drink beer anyway.
Oh, yeah. Sprite cranberry.
Okay. Yeah. But I think, I don't know, the way Rodgers is playing this year, I think it's unreal. And I think behind now they're using those three backs, and I think they used those three backs very effectively against the Rams. And I think they have a chance, even though the Bucs' run defense is great, I think they have a chance to kind of switch things up with the three backs and kind of keep them on their toes enough for Rodgers to kind of exploit the secondary with some play action on with Davante Adams. I think that'll be the breaker there.
Also, Vita Vea, or Vey, I think it's Vita Vea. He's back. He's off the injured list, so he'll be playing. That's a big boost for the Bucs' run defense right there.
That it's gonna be it, my biggest thing about this game is, one, you guys are getting me and Kev's favorite white boy, Scotty Miller. That man, watching him run a double move is so clean. It's just his footwork. How is this guy just kind of just been there in Tampa? Oh, I forgot, James, unless you're 6'5", Jameis Winston couldn't actually see you. Basically, I mean, yeah, AB, Kevin's like got a point. He was like their fourth option at some points during the year. You do have Connor Brady still playing great. You have that two-headed, three-headed monster at running back for Tampa as well. I don't think they're really going to lose it. They might lose a half a step for about a little, maybe a quarter, and they'll figure out how to work their way around it. My biggest thing here is keeping Brady upright against that pass rush, and then because Za'Darius Smith played a hell of a game against the Rams, and the last thing is, can the defense of the Buccaneers do what they did last time, and that's punch the Green Bay offense repeatedly in the mouth from one to four, end to end, just keep on just beating the snot out of them. If they can, we're looking at Tommy Touchdown taking on the Buffalo Bills, hopefully one more time. With that in mind, let's move on to the AFC title games, kickoff 6:40. I'll be home to watch that. I'm gonna be at my boy's house for the NFC title games. That should be interesting. When I'm watching the Bucks, they're pretty good about winning games. What's the feeling, Buffalo, Kansas City? Pat, you missed last night. I'll let you run first here. What are you leaning on with this game? Where are you going?
Mahomes is starting, right?
Yeah, they announced it about 2 hours ago, I believe.
I feel like it's going to be a similar template. Like, Buffalo's going to have to approach their game plan with a similar template that the Browns did last week, which is just keep the ball away from Mahomes and just make sure he doesn't get the opportunity to make plays. How effectively you can even do that, though, is beyond me, because, again, give Pat Mahomes any amount of time with his offense and his gameplay, and he's gonna turn it against you. I still think KC wins this, though. It would take a lot for Buffalo's defense to get me to think that Buffalo wins this.
All right, boys. I know where you agree. Yeah, which Pat like kind of predicted.
I mean, look, I don't even want to say it because I felt really bad. I think I texted you guys when that injury happened. I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know. But
so, Pat, want to like play the lottery for me next week?
Yes, yeah, sure, man. I got you.
I'll give you 45% of the winnings.
45? Come on.
I mean, I still got to go buy the ticket. Oh, no, you buy the ticket. But, yeah, no, it's yeah.
So it seems like I'm buying a lottery ticket then.
No, I'm funding you to buy the lottery ticket.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works.
All right, so... All right, here we go. Kev, Buffalo or KC? I know where you picked last night, but that was in a Leonard Skinner fuel rage.
I mean, it's Buffalo. I think their offense is good enough to keep up with the Chiefs, and their defense is – no one's defense is really good enough to stop the Chiefs, but you have to make them stumble. You have to make them make a mistake, trip up, and that's what it's going to come down to. And I think the Bills' defense is phenomenal. And Stephon Diggs gives that team a huge boost. Their run game is very good, even without is Moss out?
Yeah, Moss might. I don't know. Is Moss might?
I think he. They put him on IR, so I think he's out. I'm not sure though.
Yeah. So if he's on IR, he's out. I think he can come back for the Super Bowl if they win. But even without him, Singletary is a good running back. The old dude from Atlanta.
Devontae Freeman.
Devontae Freeman, thank you. I don't know why. Well, I know why my brain's fried today. Didn't get a lot of sleep and didn't drink a lot of water. But I think the Bills are going to be fine.
All right. In turn.
All right. A few things. First off, just looked up Zach Moss's injury. He just got surgery. And second off, on the little Google search bar, I saw from, Bills Wire, that PFF predicts the Bills will add Chris Carson in free agency, which is a move that I like. But anyways, about the game, I think I've been going back and forth about this. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I just think that I don't think the run game is good for the Bills, but I don't think it's dominant enough to keep the ball in their possession long enough for Mahomes to kind of be short on time there. But talking about the Bills defense, I think something that we should be watching is the fast linebackers for the Bills against Travis Kelce, Milano and Edmonds against Kelce. I think those are two linebackers that match up against him really well and can keep up with him. So I think that might be an interesting matchup and something that can change the game big time.
Also, I don't believe, and Samir, if you want to quickly just get clarification here, I check if Tremaine Edmonds played when the Bills played the Chiefs. I think it was like week 7 or 8. But I don't remember. It was a Monday night or Monday afternoon game or something. I think it was right before Halloween. So, yeah, it was right before Steelers and Titans that week. So, yeah, no, I don't remember Edmonds playing in that game. If he did, then that's not a good sign for my point here. But
he did play.
He did play? Okay. So, either way, like both you brought up, the speed of that Buffalo defense is what makes Andy Reid cringe. And it's not one particular guy. They have the best safety combo in the league. They have a top five corner. They have an underrated pass rush. And two very aggressive and fast linebackers. Do I think Kansas City is going to put up a ton of points? Oh, I would guarantee it. But do I think that this game's going to be coming down to the final possession? Oh, yes. But do I think Buffalo is going to win? Yeah. I think Kansas City, I think Mahomes' neck injury is going to catch up with them. I think he's going to play, but he won't be able to make the turning, ripping rocket throw off his back foot and hit Kelce wide open, cutting across the backside of the formation. It's going to be a lot of textbook, all right, Mahomes, beat us without doing your crazy stuff.
I still love that meme where it's like if the Browns KC game was the game on Nickelodeon, it's Pat Mahomes with the googly eyes.
It's so messed up. I showed that to my coworker and I thought he was gonna have stuff coming out of his nose. He was laughing so hard.
No, I did when I saw it. I was like, I had to stop and just laugh for like a full 2 minutes. That was
amazing. All right. So right now, Kevin's Super Bowl. Is Kev, your Super Bowl is mine, same as mine, right? Bucks and Bills. Samir, yours is Packers and Chiefs, and Pat, yours is Packers and Chiefs.
It's actually going to be Tampa Bay Chiefs.
Tampa Bay Chiefs. Okay. So, all right. So basically, me and Kev, the OGs over here, just know we're just smarter than everyone else. Kev, it's just what happens, I guess.
Hey, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, Pat. All right, we'll go to that record of Pat being eliminated before the score even started in that picks challenge.
Jeez.
All right, moving on. Some sad news in the world of sports today. The home run king, or at least the home run king for baseball purists, and honestly, he's still the home run king in my eyes, even if Bonds passed him. But Hank Aaron passed away today. To understand what Hank Aaron was like, for African American athletes in sports and everything else, we could go into it for hours. What the influence he did, and he was I'm not going to say he's like the first dominant African American athlete, but in baseball, he's one of the greatest players ever. All-time home run king, played for 22 seasons, I believe. Tops in RBIs are top three, I think.
I think he's number one.
He might still be number one because he played forever and had one of the most just fun swings in baseball. Looked like a lumberjack trying to take a hell swing at a tree. It was great. I remember when I was a kid, I saw on like YouTube and Fox, like they were showing videos of a home run when he passed Babe Ruth, and was just a great ambassador of the game of baseball and for African American athletes everywhere and just athletes everywhere. So he will be missed, and it's a really sad day for baseball fans. So
let me read you some of the other things. First all-time in RBIs, first all-time extra base hits, first in total bases, first in all-star appearances, 25 all-star appearances. Second in home runs, but really in my eyes first as well. Third in hits and tied for fourth in runs.
Wow.
Like, absolutely incredible. I mean, what an absolute tank.
I think that they used to have multiple all-star games a year.
Is that true? I didn't
know. He played 22 seasons. He played 54 to 76, and he has 25 all-star games.
Huh.
It's weird. Also, I want to comment on something that luckily they've stopped doing, but it was the dumbest thing in all of sports. The belief amongst baseball writers that they weren't going to vote someone in because they knew everyone else would, and because Babe Ruth didn't get in unanimously, nobody could. Dumbest thing in all sports.
Who's the first unanimous? Was that Rivera?
Rivera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I got to see Rivera pitch live once, and even it was his final season. I thought it was incredible.
The fact that Rivera was unanimously in was deserved, but he should not have been the first.
Oh, no. Not even close.
Yeah, like, not
like
even.
15
yeah.
players off the bat.
Ken Griffey Jr. should have been unanimous.
Randy Johnson should have been unanimous. Nolan Ryan, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron,
Ted Williams.
Yeah, Teddy Ballgame, Kevin's boy. Pedro Martinez should have been unanimous, too.
None of these guys were unanimous.
No, the first was Rivera in 2016, Kevin?
No, I think it was a little more recent. Maybe... Yeah,
it was not 2016 because I think Ken Griffey was...
Griffey was 16.
Yeah, Griffey was 16.
Griffey retired the year after Randy did. Randy was 15, and I couldn't go because of a stupid final. My dad was going to buy me tickets because Randy Johnson was my favorite athlete as a kid, and I was heartbroken.
Rivera was 2019.
Okay. The fact that it took till 2019 for us to get a unanimous voting was ridiculous.
I don't get how that's, like, how that works. Like,
I think I was at a game when that hole was in. I've gone to, like, so many games during that induction. I want to go to – any of you guys been to Cooperstown?
Yeah. No.
Never. I really want to. I'm surprised that I haven't already.
I was young. My sister had, like, a soccer clinic there or something or whatever, so I went, and we just went to Cooperstown.
My parents went to Canton last year. They drove through it. They didn't actually go in the Hall of Fame, but Canton I want to go see, and I've been to Springfield. It's yeah. Okay. The NBA Hall of Fame is kind of just there.
Yeah, it does kind of just look like it's like a rundown museum. I feel like it's like
it was really kind of cool though, because there were a couple of pros there that day, but like there was also a cheerleading competition there that day, so like the whole place was like a nut house. But I want to go see Cooperstown. I want to go see Canton. So, So RIP to Hank Aaron, one of the greatest of all time. But we have some Patriots news, boys. Matty Fratboy is coming back to New England.
He's coming home. I'm excited. I liked what he did with the defense when he was here. Although the capacity that he's going to be involved with the team, I'm not really fully aware of. Kevin, you said before show that he's going to do like scouting or something.
It's going to be a weird combination. No one really knows what it is. It's at a role similar to what Mike Lombardi's was in New England. They're working on it. He's just going to work on, like, special projects and help out how he can.
I mean, I'm happy to have him back regardless. I don't think he was a good head coach, and it just wasn't the right fit for him in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I think by the end he wasn't a very good defensive coordinator either. But he's useful. He's been in the game for a while. He knows what he's doing. It'll help.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So, Samir, this is your special assignment. You are going to lead us in UFC 257, the return of the notorious Conor McGregor, Saturday. I may have to somehow find a way to watch this fight. I don't know. None of my buddies have, like, said they were going to watch it, or, you know, with COVID, it's kind of getting a little hard to go watch a fight at your buddy's house. But
I could help you with that.
Samir, lead into UFC 257, Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier? Is that how you pronounce it?
Poirier.
Close enough. Poirier. French enough.
I'm very excited for this fight. First off, okay, I love Conor. Of course, how can you not love Conor? But I love Poirier more. The guy's a great guy. He does all this charity work. He's just one of the nicest guys in the UFC. And he was interim champion, but he fought Conor before. Conor knocked him out. So it was always, all right, you got the belt, but, I mean, you're not as good as Conor. You're not a top guy. And I just want to see it happen. I want to see the upset. Will it happen? I'm going to say probably not. Conor's locked in. He said something to Stephen A. Smith. He was like, first off, he's going back to lightweight, which is, I think, gives Poirier a chance. So he's going back down to lightweight, so he cut a lot of weight. It's the first time he fought in lightweight in, like, maybe 5 or so years. So it's, you know, a kind of an adjustment for him, but I still think he'll be fine. I want to see the upset happen. Probably won't happen. Conor said that he wants to have, like, 7 fights within the next 14 months, which is just outrageous. And he said something in the press conference. He was like championships, like yada yada, money that comes and goes. What stays for a fighter's career? It's the highlights. He wants the highlights. He wants to go there and fucking knock motherfuckers out. And that's going to be his goal for the next 2 years.
That's great.
Like, that's awesome. So I'm excited for both ways. And then the co-main is also, Hooker versus Chandler, Dan Hooker versus Michael Chandler, which is another lightweight fight. So that's exciting just because, you know, we don't know what Khabib's going to do. He said he's going to stop fighting. He had his last fight. He's 29-0. His father unfortunately passed away. So after that last fight, he was like, I can't fight without my father. I'm done. I'm retiring. And Dana White is trying to get him back to come in. And essentially what the latest report was, it's a maybe. He's gonna watch the fight with Conor and Dustin on Saturday, and if they do something really special, like to get him back in to go for that 30-0, he'll do it. So I think those boys are gonna put on a show.
Any good other fights in the prelims, or is it just basically that that semi event?
I mean those co-names are good. Andrew Sanchez versus Mahmoud Muradov. I think I'm messing that up. That's going to be a good middleweight fight. And then a flyweight for the women's, Jessica Eye versus Joanne Calderwood. That's going to be a tight one. Calderwood is actually favored by Vegas, which is weird, considering I think Jessica Eye has a better record and she's ranked higher. But yeah, other than that, I mean, the card will be decent. I mean, prelims. Let's see here. Brad Tavares is fighting in the prelims. He's kind of an up-and-comer. Besides that, I mean, nothing to go crazy about, but...
No names that we'd recognize, like no Cerrone's, nothing like that, yeah.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be on ESPN+, and you guys can check it out. It should be a good fight. Last Conor fight I watched two. I watched the last two... I think I've watched every Conor fight. At least everyone since like 2014. So, yeah. I've seen every Bones fight, and I've seen every Conor fight. So
I don't think I've ever watched like a fight, whether it be boxing or like any UFC stuff, start to finish.
UFC, watching a Bones fight is annoying because he went from being this knockout artist to just like, just waiting for you to slip up, and then he just, it looked like a great white attacking a seal. It wasn't even fair. With Connor, it's weird because the Khabib fight was just depressing because Connor just was trying to just get at him, and then you just had Khabib getting him in these headlocks, and it was just like sad because there's nothing Connor could do. And then this is why I think Khabib's a scumbag. Is like, yeah, Connor threw something at his fucking bus, whatever. It's like, get over it. It wasn't great. Over is not the right word for it, but at the same time, then like you had guys from Khabib's camp jump into the ring and take swing shots at Connor after the fight's over. I'm like, yo, like y'all should be arrested. Like the hell's wrong with you? But that's assault. That's not fighting anymore. But it's gonna be good to see Connor back in the ring. He's UFC's biggest star besides Bones. Like there's nobody bigger than Connor McGregor. And
there's nobody bigger than Conor McGregor.
That's what I meant. Like Conor McGregor, like Bones is like, I guess like their semi, he's like kind of like their bad boy. You have Conor who's like their main belt. He's their pay-per-view getter. This should probably smash every ESPN Plus pay-per-view number by a hot country mile. It's going to be a good fight.
Conor McGregor also has more of a bad boy air around him than John Bones. John Bones, the only reason why he has that moniker is because he fucking did cocaine all the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I'm kind of getting sick of Bones. I mean, listen, like,
watch yourself, intern.
I mean, the guys on Twitter just spewing nonsense. Like, he is just going nuts. And honestly, I'm just excited for that Bones Adesanya fight, and I think that's gonna be a. And they're just waiting for it.
Samir, are you gonna like if that's sort of the summer? I think you and me have to find like a place to go watch this because you're gonna not want to be here. I'm gonna need somebody to be around me when I'm watching that fight. I get nervous. John Jones fights, I get like Eagles game nervous for some reason. Like the Cormier fight where like I think it was round three he knocked Cormier out. Mm-hmm. I was just like jittery the entire time. I was just like, and then he knocked Cormier, and I'm like, let's go. And then what's his fucking name? Head of UFC, what's his name?
Dana
White was just like, you know, that's my boy Cormier, so you did right. I still not, but you cannot pass the first test and then the day of the fight fail the second test. That's not how steroids actually work. But good job, Dana. Alright. So Kev, got anything weird before we roll on out?
I do, actually. This is also UFC related.
Ooh, I'm excited.
One of the fights this week, I don't think it was the co-main event. No, that was Chandler versus Hooker. But one of the other ones on the card for the final night was going to be Bulldozer versus Steamroller. Bulldozer, Otman Isar. He's from Germany, but he's Moroccan. He was supposed to fight Matt Frivola. There it is. He has been kicked out of UFC. He is no longer allowed to fight ever for the UFC for UFC because he broke COVID protocols. He and his team cut off their wristbands, gave it to someone. The guy taped it on, showed up with a bag, went into a room at the hotel, shimmied across four balconies.
Went into Bulldozer's
room, dropped the bag off, changed his clothes, and left. When security tried to stop him, he wouldn't stop. And apparently, according to Dana White, it's all on camera what happened.
Wow, that makes Watergate look so good.
Pat goes automatically to Watergate.
I just have in my mind now this vision of Richard Nixon shimmying across four balconies to get into the Democrats' office.
Oh, my God. All right. So, fellas, now I open the floor to you as we kick last call here. This is, what is your biggest thing you are excited for in sports in 2021? You got the NBA season just kicked off. MLB is in 2.5 months. We're going to have the NFL 2021 season also as well. And hockey. So I'll give you three. What are three big things you personally are looking forward to in the year of 2021 sports?
I'm really excited now that we're kind of at that spot to like open up stadiums again. So it's not really just specifically my thing is like I want to go to a football game next year if things kind of work out that way, or I guess this year now because we're in January. But so definitely being able to just go to like live sporting events hopefully is my number one. I'm actually excited for like the first time trying to actually first time in a few years trying to like sit down and watch basketball again. I, you know, as like a kid, like, I mean, every kid played, but like as a kid, I liked it and enjoyed like watching it. So I'm kind of glad to get this little piece back. And also college football. I'm excited to get back into, to get into college football. I don't know if throughout the whole season or like last season, I was talking about how, like, you know, I'm watching more games and everything, but going into this next season is going to be a big deal for me.
Kev. I mean, I'm excited to see kind of a Patriots revamped offense this year that they have to do. They have to get a new quarterback, get new receivers. It's going to be great. I'm excited for the Bryce Young, John Mechie connection next year. Mechie's going to be another year better. Bryce Young's got another year in the system. I think Bill O'Brien's going to be a very good offensive coordinator, actually, as well as Doug Marrone, the offensive line coach for Alabama now. After Tennessee fans wanted him to be their head coach, I was like, yeah, you want to be coaching our offensive line? And finally, Alabama men's basketball. 12-3 overall, 7-0 in the SEC. They are ranked 18th right now. They're projected to be the number 2 seed come tournament time. Nate Oates is doing great things. And also, Arkansas's coach, Eric Musselman, is soft as baby shit. He blocked me on Twitter, along with a lot of other people on Gum Twitter.
Soft. All right, intern. What are you looking forward to? Like, what is got you jumping for 2021 sports?
All right. First off, last year, I hate to say it, the MLB season sucked.
Yes.
Like,
the Dodgers won. I will say that.
Yeah. I mean, first off, the Dodgers won. Second off, like, just the feel of the 60-game season was like, it didn't feel like baseball. It felt like a sprint. It felt like basketball. It felt like football, where it's like, all right, every game. Like, I understand. Okay, yes, every game counts. But meaning like the long drawn out process of the MLB season, where it's like it's a marathon. You gotta like we need consistent hitting. Like, because any guy could go on a 60 game great streak. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you're gonna be a great player the entire year. Like Eric Thames, remember, like first 2 months the guy was jacking home runs a couple years back, and then he
figured out how to pitch to him and it was all over.
Exactly. So I'm excited to go back to, like, you know, the real traditional feeling of baseball. Happy to see DJ back in the pinstripes, and see if Corey Kluber can turn around the rotation. I don't know. Second thing I'm excited for is hopefully the Giants get a shiny new offensive weapon that we can flex around. Hopefully Jalen Waddle. I see a lot of mock drafts saying we're taking Pitts, which I don't know. I feel like we're just not going to give up on Ingram, and it's going to be gross, and we're just going to have to deal with it.
Or he's the next Ingram, and you're screwed either way.
That too. But I'm excited to have the revamped Giants offense, hopefully with Saquon back. And a cool new wide receiver one, and hopefully Danny takes at least a serviceable step to being like a game manager that can, you know, keep the ball, like, you know, not turn the ball over as much, and, you know, just be serviceable. I don't need 40 touchdowns. 25 might be nice. Anything more than 11 might be nice. But yeah, and then the third thing is college football as well, because ever since joining the podcast, it's time for me to get deep into college football. And, you know, I say I'm a Michigan State fan loosely. I picked Michigan State in middle school. In sixth grade, I was at a bar mitzvah. They were giving out little pennants. And I was like, oh, I like green. I'll take Michigan State. I put that up on my wall. I was like, okay, I guess I'm a Michigan State fan. Newsflash, now that I'm getting to college football deeper, we stink. So if anybody from a different college fan base wants to sway me, wants to court me to their college – because, of course, I go to BU and we don't have a football team and it stinks. But if someone would like to woo me, Hashtag woo the intern. That's going to be a new movement. Get me onto your college football team.
That could really have some negative connotations. We have to make that.
Yeah.
No, we're keeping like, it. I'm using that.
Like a, can we get like a lawyer before that?
We do it. All right, we're going to do it, but we just have to make sure we block Bill Clinton on all our Twitters. Right. That's all we have to do, and make sure we don't have any Bill Clintons working for us. But also, Samir, you know who you want to join.
No, don't join the dark side.
The dark side.
One, two, three college football playoff wins. Another 15 non-CFP wins. Three
a lot of wins.
DCS championship wins.
Where is like the underdog to it?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I do love an underdog. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, for God's sakes, for Pete's sakes.
Like rooting for the Patriots if you pick the freaking Tide, man. Like, damn.
Dude, if you're looking for underdog, look no further than West Point's Black Knights, man.
Never winning a national title in the next 30 years.
They're never even gonna go to a game. Like, they were lucky. Well, I mean, not lucky to have a bowl game because, you know, they do play bowl games, but like. You get like the added, you know, Commander Chiefs trophy drama. Like, there's so much stuff. Like, and they have a really cool alma mater at the end of every game. So, you know, just throwing it out there, you know.
All right. I'm not. If we want, we'll talk later about rooting for Miami. I think that might appeal to you too. It is a green team, by the way. Green and orange. Surprisingly, a good combo. All right. My three things I'm looking forward to in sports. I could have said. You know, I'm looking forward to my Diamondbacks. I'm not. They got some good young players, but we just continue to score ourselves a free agency, so I'm not looking forward to that. All right, Timberwolves. Towns has been out for 2 weeks. They suck. Anthony Edwards looks like he's going to be a great player, but it's not much hope right now this season. What I am looking forward to is hopefully on February 7th, I watch the Buffalo Bills raise their first Lombardi Trophy, and I watch the city of Buffalo crumble to the ground and be rebuilt in 2 hours. That city is going to erupt if they win that, because that is the best fan base in all of pro football. I don't care what you say. Like, they won. They put their billboard up in Foxborough. It's beautiful. But all I will say is that it's just so much fun to watch. Secondly, iSports again. No drama, like less drama with the COVID. Just like focusing more on an off season where it's less COVID drama, more, oh God, they signed who? Oh, this team's loading up with who? It's gonna be great. And last but not least, is my two football teams. You fuckers managed to give me hope and optimism within 48 hours. My Miami Hurricanes landing Stevenson Johnson. And Rambo out of the portal, having a top 10 recruiting class this year ranked. And on top of that, finally fired Mike Rumpf as the defensive backs coach. I love Mike Rumpf. He did so much for our 2001 Canes team. But DeMarcus Van Dyke is such a better coach for defensive backs. And my Philadelphia Eagles. The unhealthy relationship I have with you is historically documented and mentally scarring. You found a way to get a guy who I didn't get too excited about, but thought about and actually realized it was the best fit. You can't get Frank Reich? Get his right-hand man. You still can promote Deuce. You still have somebody who Howie and Glenn Dorsey and Jeffrey Lurie can tell, hey, listen, don't do this, do that. You traded out one visor for another, which also makes me happy. Visor wearing coaches, that's where it's at. So somehow my football teams gave me hope in the last 72 hours, and it's hysterical to me. But so those are my three things. That about wraps it up for Podcast and Chill. This is number 7 on this edition. We'll be back Tuesday to talk some football. I think Patty might have to stop by to defend, see if his Super Bowl contribution came true. One show next week, we might just do the Tuesday and call it a week because there's going to be nothing next week except for the Senior Bowl, I believe. So that's about wraps it up. I'm Jared. That's Kev. That's Pat. That's the intern, Samir. we will catch you guys on Tuesday. Go watch some football. Drive safe. Enjoy the weekend.
Peace.
Hey guys, Jared, thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Corner Booth Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.